Well, we're in Matthew 6 as we continue looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we're getting close to the end of this part of the series and the last petition as we look at Deliver Us from the Evil One, really part two of looking at how we overcome temptation through prayer. God gives us the strength and power to do that. As we looked at part one last week, lead us not into temptation. Well, the second part of that last petition that is praying for God's protection is deliver us from evil, or deliver us. Many people think deliver us from the evil one. When we look at this, as we're looking at the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for our prayer life and for all of our Christian living, not just something we pray or say just in a group together, but it affects all of our Christian lives. Someone said, why do I keep making the same sinful mistakes over and over? Why am I so resistant to change? I'm discouraged and I need help getting unstuck. This is the way life is. As someone said, you know, we have to be honest about this, don't we? The only way we're going to break free from certain sins is through the power of God as we pray, as we ask for His deliverance and His strength, and to break out of that cycle, as this one man says, of, well, I hope I'll do better tomorrow. This cycle of intentions and failure and guilt and confession and good intentions and failure and guilt and confession, and we need God's power. And that's what this part of the prayer is about. When we pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. How God empowers us. It's really a prayer of deliverance. This part of the prayer, as we come to the end and we're praying for God's protection. So what are some things that we learn about praying, deliver us from evil in the Lord's Prayer? Well, number one is commitment. You see those on the outline there. Some principles and keys that affect how we pray this as a pattern for our prayers. Commitment. And the application is that we devote ourselves personally to God in prayer. There is an idea of where we understand that we're growing in devotion to prayer, devotion to God in prayer, and commitment that affects everything else. I like the story of this little 5-year-old girl. She disobeyed her mom. She was sent to her room. And after a few minutes, the mom went in to have a chat with this girl about what she had done. And the little girl's teary-eyed, crying. She said, why do we do wrong things, Mom? Sometimes the devil tells us, and the mom says, sometimes the devil tells us to do something wrong, and we'll listen to him, she tells the little girl. And the little girl looks up and says, and the mom said, well, we need to listen to God instead. And the little girl speaks up and says, well, God doesn't talk loud enough. And sometimes, you know, that's the thing. We feel like God's not talking loud enough. But when we pray this part of the prayer, deliver us from evil, we're saying, Lord, we want you to speak clearly through the noise and help us to hear your voice, to know the voice of your truth, the voice of your word. Derek Thomas said, those uncommitted to God's will be susceptible to that voice that says, try this, try that, you'll enjoy it. If we're not growing in a commitment, and this takes place in devotion through prayer, then we're going to be more likely to fall into the traps and the lies of the enemy. So in praying, deliver us from evil, we're asking for the power to hear God's voice loud and clear, first of all, in our temptations. That we know we're praying, lead us not into temptation, Lord. If it be your will, that I wouldn't even be tempted in that situation. You wouldn't lead me into that. But we know we're going to fall into those situations. So help me to hear your voice in the middle of it. Help me to be committed to your truth. Help me to hear and heed your word and to see the way out. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says God is faithful and he'll show you the way out. Lord, we're praying, Lord, help me to see that way out, so I'll be delivered from evil when I face it. Remember, we studied last week, as I said, the first part of this last petition of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. And we looked closely at the need to study Christ's life, to strategize with the plan, to stay close to the shepherd, to seek God passionately in prayer. That was last Sunday. Well, this second part of this last petition goes together with it, of course. Deliver us from the evil one. And it's certainly about overcoming temptation in a sense as well. The word but there, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, ties the two parts together, but it also shows a great contrast in a way between the two ideas. Because the point is, we're asking God for His help, first of all, not to fall into temptation. We're saying, God, help me not to even be led into that situation. And it's not that God tempts us, because God tempts no one, James 1 says. But that we're praying, Lord, lead me in the right path. Help me not to fall into those situations where I'm going to be tempted. That's part one. But then we're also asking God to rescue us. That we understand more of the reality of sin, the reality of evil, and what that's all about. The one, the evil one who's behind it all. And that we're saying, God, deliver me, rescue me when I'm in that situation. And I know I don't have the power to overcome. And I know I'm going to face it. So we're praying we will hear God's truth loud and clear as we're facing trials, facing temptation, and we'll follow Him. Brian Chappell tells of his wife being at the zoo one time with their young children, and one of them somehow got caught in an area where there was a danger from one of the wild animals in the zoo. And the animal could have possibly gotten to one of the children. And they didn't, of course, they were little kids, they didn't get the danger of what they were actually in the middle of and what they were facing. But the point was, he talked about how the mother's voice drew them back in as she called them to come back to her and to safety, and they were okay. So when we pray, deliver us from evil, we're saying, Lord, yes, lead me not into temptation. Guide me away from those situations. But we're saying, God, I rest in your sovereignty. You're in control. Direct me. But when I'm in the middle of the evil and I know I live in this sinful world, help me to know your voice well. What did Jesus say? My sheep know my voice. And that's what we want, that more and more we'll know the voice of His Spirit, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free, and we'll follow Christ in those trials and temptations. Ryken said, not only do we ask God to keep us from evil, but we also ask Him to rescue us when the evil comes. He said, it's good to pray that God will keep us out of the lion's den. However, if you find yourself there, he said, we've got to keep praying that God will deliver us. And that's what we pray when we pray, deliver us from evil. The fact that we pray for God to deliver us from evil shows us that we are going to have times where we fall into serious temptation. No, it's not our desire to do this in any way, of course. But in this sinful world, it will happen. And so the first principle in praying, deliver us from evil, is a commitment to God, to prayer, to keep praying, to seek God, that we'll hear His voice, that He'll deliver us through the evil when we know we'll fall into it. I believe there are times where God in His sovereignty does allow us to go through seasons of temptation. He's not causing the temptation. He's not the author of evil in any way, of course, but He will allow us to go through to shape us, to shape our character, to build us up so we'll look to Him. And that's why we call on God in prayer. We pray this part of the prayer, deliver us from evil. That's why Jesus gives this. Remember, the Lord's Prayer is a part of daily prayer, right? It's our pattern. It's a pattern of prayer to pray this part of it for protection. Deliver us from evil. God will help us to hear His voice and follow His will, but He does it as we're faithful in prayer. As we keep seeking God, we'll be tempted, but God in His grace will help us to resist. Martin Luther said it this way, the birds may circle our head, but we don't have to let them build a nest. And so the birds will circle. The evil is there. The attacks will be there. But we don't have to let them build the nest. So what we're praying for here is for God to strengthen us within. To give us the courage to stand against evil as we see it for what it really is. To know God's truth. And as Ephesians 6 says, to be strong in the Lord. That we read earlier. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And stand with the armor of God. The Confession of Faith, Westminster Confession of Faith Catechism puts it this way. We're praying God would either keep us from being tempted or support and deliver us when we are tempted. And sometimes this prayer of deliverance can be a very simple cry for help. It doesn't have to always be the most eloquent prayer when we know we need God's help and we feel that pressure and evil and sin. It can be what some people call an arrow prayer. And we're asking God, help me to keep focused in this time. Help me to keep my eyes on you. We're praying, Lord, help me to remember your truth. Use your word as a sword. Help me to use it as an offensive weapon. Help me to deal with this difficult person who's a jerk at work, who I'm impatient with. I'm tempted to fight back, to deal with this hard relative that I've got to deal with at Christmas time. Psalm 50:15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, the Lord says, and you will honor me. So God said, this doesn't have to be some eloquent, long conversation sometimes. It can be a little bit of a mayday prayer. Help, Lord, in the middle of this, deliver me from evil. That mindset. And remember, this is a prayer we pray just for ourselves? No. We pray, deliver us from evil. We don't want to be like the guy who said, well, great, there comes Bob from work. I told him I would pray for him. And then, you know, you pray, dear God, please help Bob. Strengthen him. Amen. And then, you know, Bob's there and you say, oh, Bob, good to see you. I've been praying for you. You know, that's, okay, great. Yeah, maybe you have, but, you know, that one time. But we don't want to be that way because we pray for one another, don't we, for God's strength as Christians. See, after picturing the armor of God in Ephesians 6 that we read, we're to be strong for the Lord and in the Lord and His mighty power, that we might take our stand against the enemy. What does Paul go on to say there in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 18? And pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all of the saints. That idea of prayer is the breath of the warrior, as one man called it. The power of that armor of God is as we're walking with God in consistent prayer, praying without ceasing. You notice the theme there for all these things, for all the saints being alert in all these occasions. Hughes said, those who would engage in spiritual battle, regardless of how well they wear truth and righteousness, faith and salvation, regardless of how well they are grounded in God's peace and how they wield the word of God like a sword, they must make prayer the first thing. Are we praying that way with that commitment? The Christian soldier, one man said, has to fight on his knees. That's the weapon that we use. Edward Payson said prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing necessary to minister. He said, pray therefore, my dear brother, pray, pray, pray. So we are regularly praying for God to deliver us, but also others from evil. As we think about others, praying with this part of the prayer. Some translations say, deliver us from the evil one, or evil in general. But when you look at the original languages, here's what you see. If you looked at the original Greek, you see that the preposition from that Jesus uses here in the Greek language, it was always used with personal objects, never impersonal things. So that's why in context, many people think that Jesus seems to be saying, and the better translation is that we pray for God to deliver us from the evil one, from the devil, from Satan, from his attacks, his wiles, his schemes. Ephesians 6 says, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And it makes sense in the context of the Lord's Prayer if you think about it. The rest of the Bible, yes, evil and temptation come through this world we live in and evil circumstances and evil people that we have to deal with. And yes, from our own evil impulses. We talked about that from James 1 last week. But behind all of that, we have to remember is who? The evil one. He's the one who seeks to wreak havoc on the church of Christ and on us as believers and in this world. So ultimately, while we are praying for God to deliver us from evil people and situations and our own remaining sin, we are praying ultimately against the one and for strength against the one who started it all, who stands behind it all. Ken Hughes said again, Satan has multiple millennia to study and master the human disciplines. And when it comes to human subversion, he's an ultimate manipulator. There's this little girl. She was disciplined by her mom for kicking her brother in the shins and pulling his hair. And Sally, the mom, said to the girl, why did you give the devil a foothold? Why did you let him cause you to do that, you know. And the little girl said, "Mom, the devil made me kick him, but pulling his hair was my idea." And I know we can put too much emphasis on the devil sometimes, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But what we have to realize is the enemy is at work. He is real. He's not a creature with a cape and horns and what we see in our society today. He's real, and he uses deception to plot against us and to use our desires against us to lead us into temptation, putting ideas in our thinking and trying to tempt us. And that's why, as I said, Jesus gave this as a daily pattern for us to pray. It's why we've got to pray with this mindset for the Lord to deliver us from evil every day. The Lord's Prayer ends this way for a reason, I believe. To say that our pattern of prayer must always end with the focus on our humility and our great need to depend on God for His protection and for the protection of others that we know and love. Now, I've read it before about snakes, and I was reading one time about rattlesnakes. They are thought to be dead. Even after they're dead, they can still strike. You probably have heard of that before. Doctors in Arizona said that they have large numbers of patients admitted every year from suffering from bites from snakes that people thought were dead. Their heads might be off, but the snake has the reflex action and can still make a striking motion some 1 or 2 hours after the death of the snake. Well, as an analogy, think about the enemy. The Bible tells us at the cross, his head was crushed. His head, in a sense, was cut off. Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death. But we know the Bible is also very clear that he is in this season, in this world, and he can still strike and wound and cause problems. And how does he do that? Through deception, through division, through trying to put his poison and sin in our churches, our relationships, and into our lives. So the enemy is defeated, but he is constantly seeking to spread his poison and poisonous ways into our lives. And that's why we have to be committed to prayer, first of all. When we pray, deliver us from evil, we're wanting to be constantly in God's Word, to know His truth, and pray based on His truth, and pray for Him to deliver us, that we will hear His voice and heed His voice. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, Paul said, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain." So let me ask you, do you believe in the real personal existence of the devil? We know Jesus certainly believed in this. We know when Jesus was tempted, he withstood the force of the devil's temptations. And then he tells us right after that, in the context of Matthew, to pray for this. So we have to understand that reality, don't we? That we pray, when we pray this, we know there's a reality of an enemy there. And he's not a mysterious cosmic force. Evil has a face to it. But we know Christ has faced him and Christ has overcome him. And so we've got to be devoted to prayer, asking for God's deliverance, knowing that the enemy is defeated ultimately, but he still attacks. He still seeks to wreak havoc. And we need to find the power the only way we can through Christ in prayer. 2 Timothy 4:18, Paul said, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever." We pray in that light. Second thing here, it's comprehension. Comprehension. You see there on the outline, not only devotion and commitment, we need comprehension as we pray this part of the prayer. We've got to discern God's plan in prayer as we look to have victory in Christ. And that's the second key that we pray with when we pray deliver us from evil, and that's comprehension, the need for discernment. See, the problem that many people fall into in Christians is that we don't have a balance in understanding how evil works and the evil one. And you know, the Lord's Prayer, at the heart of all of it, is the gospel. It's the assurances that we have in Christ when we come to prayer because of what Christ came to do and who he is, that we pray as we sing to our Father as God's children. And we pray to our Father who is all-powerful, worthy of all praise. We pray, "Hallowed be his name." We pray for his kingdom to come. and His will to be done. All because of what the Son, Jesus, has come to do and has accomplished. And that's why we know He'll meet every need. We pray for our daily bread. And we pray for forgiveness. We know we're forgiven. We know He'll change us, helping us to become forgiving. And we know He'll protect us. And as we leave the prayer, this last petition for protection, we must remember it is all based in the idea of the assurances of the gospel and what Jesus Christ has already accomplished. When we pray, deliver us from the evil one, we know that evil, yes, is very real. The devil is real. We should take him seriously. But we also know, we must remember, God has, through Jesus Christ, through the cross and the resurrection and ascension, and He will, when He returns and sets up His final kingdom, delivered us from the evil one. We pray in that understanding. What do we sing in A Mighty Fortress Is Our God? One of the lines. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That's the name of Jesus Christ. So see, in thinking about the evil one as we pray this, we need to remember, some Christians will go to one extreme. They seem to see demons behind every bush. The devil behind everything, you know? It's always because the devil influenced them. And, you know, like that mom in the story, you know, it's always about what the devil has done and not ourselves as well. Like the old cartoon I saw one time, pictured a man pointing towards his car and the transmission, and he said, there's got to be a demon in there. You know, people often talk about things like that in their computer even, you know. Some Christians look at everything, they get out of balance, you know, giving the devil too much attention. And that draws us away from God. And when we come praying, deliver us from the evil one, we realize there's a balance. God has the victory. The devil is real, but Christ has the victory. And so we're admitting we can fall into temptation. Temptation and sin are real. There's a struggle there. We're praying, deliver us from that evil. But we remember that we're praying to the God, the Father, who in Jesus Christ has ultimately defeated evil even already. And so we're asking God as we pray, deliver us from the evil one, for growing faith in Him based on what He's done in Jesus Christ, that we'll continue to know what He's given us, we'll grow in that grace and that knowledge, and we'll be protected and insulated and strengthened in the world that we live in. 1 John 5 says it well, that the victory that has overcome the world is what? Our faith in Jesus Christ. So we come knowing as we look to the Lord. Ephesians 6 says, be strong in the Lord and His power. It's in His strength. It's standing in the full armor of God. We don't have time to talk about all those parts, but that's essential, that we are walking in faith and truth and hope, all rooted in the gospel of assurance that Jesus Christ has given us. Well, we know the other side of the pendulum, don't we, that people go to? And that's to act like the enemy's not real. We see it in our world that evil's kind of a joke. The other extreme is to kind of bury your head in the sand when it comes to evil and the devil and sort of think, well, we're not going to be like some of these other Christian groups or people who say they're Christians that get all caught up in it, and we just kind of ignore it and sort of act like it's not real. I mean, you can look at the movies out there and you can see the way people think about the devil, like he walks around in red horns and a cape, you know. But as we're committed, devoted in praying this, we begin to comprehend more of the reality of sin and evil and discern and grow in knowing God's plan of victory in Jesus Christ. That affects the way that we see what we're dealing with and how we pray, deliver us from evil. As we comprehend, as we discern the plan of God and the victory of God in Jesus Christ. God's truth helps us to see as we get into it and we pray based on it, that while the devil is real, he's been rebelling from God from the very beginning, using not new tactics, but he still is at work heavily. He's not going to win. It's like the dad who walked past the son's bedroom one night, saw a light under the door, and he went inside, and the boy kept saying over and over as he read this book, you're going to get it, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And finally the dad went in and said, what are you doing? And the boy said, well, I'm reading this book, you know, and the bad guy keeps getting the best of the hero. But I went to the end of the book and I saw that the villain is going, even though he seems to win, he's going to lose. And so every time as I read through this book that the villain seems to win, I just laugh and I tell him, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. See, this is what the Bible is all about, the whole story. When you look at Revelation, as we did a while back, you know, the enemy's purpose is to steal the glory of God, to deter God's salvation, to destroy God's people. But the Bible is very clear that that will not happen because of Jesus Christ and God's power and His plan. Revelation says war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. In verse 11 of chapter 12, it says that the Christians overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. And that's what we have to remember, don't we? A major point in Revelation is that from that point on, the devil's sole focus has been the hatred of God, His truth, His people, and to destroy God's plan and God's work and to take away from the glory of God. But we know that he will not win. And we pray in that understanding, don't we, of the victory we have in Jesus. The point is we must have a growing comprehension and discernment in God's word to really pray, deliver us from evil. Or there's no point in praying it. We must get in the Bible and understand the picture of where evil came from, why it exists, what it's really all about, and what God's plan of salvation does to it. Praying for God to deliver us from the evil one is about grasping that grand vision and picture of God's promises and His plan in Jesus Christ. And then we grow to see more and more as we pray in our own lives how what we're praying for is a part of the bigger scheme, the bigger picture. Knowing that we're a part of that helps us to pray this differently when we face our own trials and our own temptations. As I've said before, you know, if you had $1,000, let's say, in one hand, and you had lollies, a bunch of lollies in the other, and you show it to a little child, which one are they going to take? I mean, I'm talking about a really little child. Well, they're going to want the lollies, right? They don't understand the value of that money, that $1,000. When Jesus was tempted, he knew, of course, the greatness of God's plan of salvation. As he said when the devil tempted him, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. That ought to be our understanding as well, more and more, that we grasp the greater scheme and strategy of God and his plan. Someone said, having failed to prevent Christ coming, the only thing the devil could do was try to keep him from accomplishing his saving purpose. So the evil one sought to get Jesus to use his deity to his own advantage, to win the kingdom without enduring the cross. So the more we grasp God's plan in saving us from sin, the more we see what he's trying to do in our lives as we pray with focus, deliver us from the evil one. The more we recognize his schemes, what does the Bible say? He's an angel of light. We don't see it often if we're not praying with discernment for God to deliver us from evil. It's the pattern we're to pray with every day, the mindset we're to have as we leave our prayer, comprehending God's plan of salvation. Seeing the big picture helps us to see then the personal attacks of the devil and sin against us in our own personal lives. Everything he aims to do has at that heart taking away from salvation and our growth and ultimately glory to God. And we see this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. As we were talking about it with the message of Christmas yesterday, you know, in the Christmas program. God already had a plan in place. We know when Eve took the fruit and sin entered the world, but God already had a plan in place to send the Savior to destroy the enemy. And we know that in Genesis 3:15, don't we? As God said, I'll put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head. It's talking about Jesus, of course, and what he came to do. He came to destroy the work of the devil. And we know that from the beginning of time, the devil has always fought in that way to do all he can to try to stop God's plan and take from God's glory. And you see, that mindset, when we think about what all the scripture says, from Cain and Abel to Esau and Jacob and Saul trying to kill David, it's all been a part of this greater spiritual battle going on from the beginning of time to fight against God, the enemy, and to take away from the glory of God and to deter God's people from God's will. And we have to pray in that light, don't we? That's why Paul says in Ephesians 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers and forces in the heavenlies. Let me ask you, do you realize what we're praying when we pray, deliver us from evil? Do we stop and pray and think, stop and think and then pray? You know, when we think about the problems going on around us, the struggles we're dealing with right now, our own kids, our family, and work, with difficult people, whatever it is in the world or in our personal lives, to remember, stop and pause before we pray, that there is an enemy who's waging war. Yes, he's defeated, ultimately. But there's a spiritual battle. This is what the battle's all about. It impacts us differently when we pray with this with mindset. Deliver us from evil. See, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life to the fullest, John 10. But then he reminded us, but the enemy comes to kill and to steal and rob and destroy. And we have to keep that in mind. Remember, Peter was upset when Jesus first told them about the cross. He said, Lord, that'll never happen to you. And what did Jesus do in Matthew 16? Jesus knew the evil one was at work behind it. And he turned and looked to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. Now, do we understand that's not just about, sometimes we'll use that, well, you bring some cookies over near me and say, hey, get behind me. I don't need that. But it's a lot more than that, isn't it? Jesus' purpose was the cross, his death for our sins and resurrection. And God's plan meant him laying down his life. Peter didn't see that at the time. Maybe he said what everybody else was thinking. Lord, you can't do that. Peter often did. But this is the way the enemy attacks when we're not aware. And we're not growing in comprehension and discernment of what God's plan is all about. When we grow in that understanding, we pray differently. We avoid the extremes of focusing so much on the enemy to think that that's all that matters, or just ignoring him, undervaluing him. We focus on the gospel. We focus on the victory of Christ and the reality of what's going on around us. C.S. Lewis said the demons are pleased by both those errors, those extremes. He said they hail a materialist and a magician with the same delight. The magician being the people caught up in all of the stuff about demons, and the materialist who just acts like evil's not real. No, there's a balance, and when we pray this, it changes it. Number three, there's caution. And that's depending on God's power and prayer as we go into the battle. The third key, I believe, as we pray this part of the prayer, deliver us from the evil one, is the idea of caution. In other words, as we're committed to prayer, yes, we do that. We grow in comprehension. We recognize more of the enemy's attacks. We're devoted to praying this, and we become more discerning as we pray this. But as true with all the Lord's Prayer, it's meant to affect all of our lives. It's a pattern for prayer and for the way we live the Christian life. And so we begin to close the prayer with this prayer for protection. And we know we'll need to depend on God as we pray and lead prayer. We'll have to depend on Him in prayer and through His Word through all the day. We'll pray without ceasing. That we'll have the mindset of prayer so that we're empowered as we face the battles that we will face. So we have caution. Yes, we have confidence, but we have caution because we're reminded of the reality of sin. Phil Ryken tells of this couple coming home from a dinner party one time, and the husband dropped his wife at the doorstep. He went looking for a parking space, and he was parking just a few blocks from their house, and the man noticed these tough-looking men looking right at his car, and sensing the danger, he decided to wait for a moment for these men to go past, and he did that. And they were about a block away, and he felt safe enough to step out from the car, but immediately they turned around and they started to go back towards him and stalk him. Well, the man's first impulse was to prepare to defend himself if he had to. He was actually trained in martial arts, but he said his most important impulse was even stronger, and that was to pray for God's deliverance. He knew they were gaining on him as he went around the corner, and he had a sense, though, supernaturally of peace, knowing God was going to take care of him. And by the end of the time, they got to the end of the block, they were right behind him, and he turned the corner, and there right in front of him were about six men who were working on this van as they were there at the street, and they gave him a sense of assurance. And the man praised God for his deliverance. He got home, and his wife was waiting for him. He didn't say anything, but when he mentioned it the next morning, she said, "Well, that explains it." She related how she experienced at that same time waiting on her husband to pray for his protection. God hears us in the reality of evil and sin and the things that we go on in everyday life as we depend on Him. Our mindset is one of spiritual focus. I always like the story of Floyd Pearson. He's a retired missionary, and he was one who said to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. And one time he went as an older man to do his driver's test, and when they started the test, before they started it, he said to the teacher of the test, the examiner, he said, "I always like to pray before I drive." You can imagine this older man saying, "Let's pray before I even drive." You can imagine what the teacher of the test was thinking. You know, what was this going to be like? But they did, and he passed. But you know, this is the way we need to be, praying always with all prayer, Ephesians 6 says, and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. As we're devoted to praying, deliver us from evil, we grow in discernment, we have a balance, we walk in victory, and we grow to depend on God as we walk out into the reality of the struggles in daily life, the spiritual battles. When we pray, deliver us from the evil one, we're remembering that God protects us. He empowers us to hear our voice, to hear His voice, and to walk in truth, and to walk in victory. And we're also praying for others, of course. Not only ourselves, not only other Christians, but we also are praying with the mindset of how people are trapped and lost in the darkness of sin. And we're praying for God to deliver them in the way that He alone can do, what He's brought in our lives, what we're experiencing. We're praying for the lost to be set free through the gospel, through seeing the gospel at work in our own lives. Because we know the Bible is very clear, don't we, that the human race is dominated by sin and the evil one. 1 John 5 says, "We know we are children of God, but the whole world is under the control of the evil one." 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." So part of what we're praying as we close our prayer is for protection, but also for the power of the gospel that alone can deliver those trapped in their sin and trapped by the evil one. We know God is able to do that as He has in our life, but we're praying, deliver us. And then we're praying, God, that that deliverance will go out beyond us from evil, for those that are lost in sin, deceived by the devil. 2 Timothy 2:26, Paul said, "And they may come," that he prays this, "that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will." That's what we pray. I like the story Bill Bright tells of this man, Mr. Yates, who wasn't able to make enough money many years ago in his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on the mortgage of that whole land. And he was in danger of going bankrupt, losing everything. But one day this crew from an oil company came and told him there could be oil on his land. And so they asked for permission to drill a well, and at over 1,000 feet down, they struck this massive oil reserve. He didn't know it was there. And at first it was 80,000 barrels a day, but after 30 years, they did a test and they found one of the wells still had the potential of 125,000 barrels of oil. I mean, he didn't realize he's on this land and he was deceived and didn't realize he's living in poverty, but he's a multimillionaire. Now, we're praying for God to deliver people from the deception that the evil one has them under, blinding them to the greatness of God, the goodness of God, and to the good news that can ultimately alone change their lives, that they might believe, that they might be saved. And we're also praying that we ourselves and other Christians would know more and more of the riches of the glorious inheritance that we have as saints and as Christians. So when we pray this, we're asking God to open doors as well as open our eyes, and that He will use us as we depend on Him and grow in His truth and share the gospel that alone changes people's lives, and that we'll stand up for His truth as God gives the chances and opportunity, and stand against evil, that we'll overcome evil with good as He works through us. That's what we're praying, is we want to depend on Him, and we want to put what this prayer means into practice. Paul said, continue, Colossians 4, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. So we're depending on God's power as we go into the daily battles of this life. And then finally, confidence as we close. And that's develop God's perspective through prayer as we look to the end. I believe this is the final key, briefly, that we think about when we pray, deliver us from the evil one. And that's confidence. It involves confidence in Christ, of course, not ourselves, but a growing perspective on the reality of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. When we pray, deliver us from evil, or from the evil one, we are looking to the end. We are looking to God, as we do with all the Lord's Prayer, because of the truth of the gospel and the faithfulness of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." So we don't deny, of course, the existence of evil. We can't avoid it at all costs. But we're turning to the Lord in this part of the prayer to deliver us more and more through Jesus Christ as we look to the end. We're asking Him to protect us, strengthen us. As Luther says in the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress," that truth that turns the enemy away is the name of Jesus Christ. That one little word will fail him. So the good news of Christ, who died on the cross and rose and returned, we're looking to Him, we're praying in Jesus' name, we're knowing the core truth of the Bible is that Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil, and He's appeared to do that, and the Bible says He's coming back again to finish the deal in the end. So we're praying with confidence, growing hope and perspective that He will deliver us from evil, because we know this is why Christ came and He's coming back. We read the verses earlier in Colossians. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. So I know we can feel overcome by evil and sin in this dark world, but because we trust in Christ, we pray knowing He's ultimately rescued us from evil and sin. And as we draw near to Him, as James says, He'll continue to draw near to us, and the devil will flee from us, and we'll grow stronger in Christ as we look to His return in the end. That's where our confidence is as we pray this. And there's a growing perspective that flows out of that. I like Romans 16:20 as we close. It says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." He's talking about the end. He's talking about the final victory and the return of Jesus Christ. As we live in this world, we look to Him and we pray, deliver us from evil in that light and that view. Let's turn to the Lord now as we close in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before You, and we're thankful, Lord, that we have You leading us, directing us, Lord. We know that our salvation is secure. It's difficult, Lord, as we live in this world of sin and temptation. And we know there's an evil one who's still roaming about like a lion, looking to kill and destroy, as 1 Peter says. But Lord, we know You're our shepherd, You're our mighty King, and so we depend on You. We're thankful that You teach us to pray this way, Lord, that as we close our prayer time, we're called to look to You for protection, to know that we depend on You for everything, and Lord, that we can count on You in Christ. It doesn't mean that we won't have trials or difficulties or suffering, but we know, Lord, that nothing will separate us from Your love in Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord, to grow in commitment and devotion to You in prayer and dependence on You and discernment. And Lord God, help us to be confident, Lord, not in ourselves, but more and more in Jesus Christ and the victory that we have in Him. And we pray in His precious and powerful name. Amen. Amen.